If you have your Bible, I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 53. I was in Huntington, West Virginia, in the pastor's office just recently, and as I was preparing the message that day, something very strange happened. I sat there and was reading Isaiah 53, which is not strange, and a phrase jumped out at me. You must remember, I have been preaching for 46 years. I've read Isaiah 53 so many times, I can't even tell you how many times I've read it. And one phrase leaped at me, and the Lord said, "Preach on this. This is happening to people now." We preached it. I never will forget. It was an explosive service. James was with me there, and James said, "Man, I never heard preaching like that." And James is back there, and he'll tell you that I hadn't heard preaching like that. I want to go back and listen to the message because I want to hear what that man said, because it was a download. It literally was a download, and I'm thinking, "Thank you, Lord, for this." And this was the message I felt I should preach a camp meeting. So here we go. This is going to be a revelation that if you can get a hold of this and you can receive this, it is literally going to transform your life. Isaiah 53 is the prophecy that we as Christians use to show that Jesus is the Messiah, not was a Messiah, is the Messiah. What does the word Messiah mean? The Hebrew word is Mashiach, and it is the anointed one. If you're reading the New Testament, it's called Christ. The word is Christ, and it's the Greek word Christos, and it too means the anointed one. So the Messiah is God's anointed one that is sent to earth to bring a redemptive covenant to mankind who will believe in him, they can have eternal life. But I want to go through these very quickly because I want to show you the prophecy and very quickly the reference where it is fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus. First of all, Isaiah 53:2. He is the root out of dry ground. Isaiah chapter 11:1 said, "He is the stem of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of that root." This is interesting. The word branch in Hebrew is the word netzer. But in the time of Jesus, up until the first few years, like 10 to 20 years, the Christians were called Christians. They were named Christians at Antioch. So it is a word that comes out of the Greek. My guide, Gideon Shore, heard a Hebrew professor say that the evidence of what Christians were originally called was not Christians. The Jews called them the Nutzrim. The Nutzrim. And I said, "Gideon, why did they call them the Nutzrim?" He said, "Because in the prophecy of Isaiah 11:1, a stem, there's the Messiah comes from the stem of Jesse, but there's a branch that grows out of that called the Netzer, and those were the believers. Those were the ones that would believe in Messiah." So they took the name from that prophecy and gave the Christians in Hebrew the name Nutzrim. So that was fulfilled, that Jesus is the root out of dry ground. Then Isaiah 53:5, "By his stripes we are healed." 1 Peter 2:24 in the New Testament says, "By his stripes ye were healed." Isaiah chapter 53:6, "But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We find that is fulfilled in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21, where Paul said, "Christ was made sin for us." And so you see, the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." Matthew 26:63 said, "At the trial with Pilate, that he opened not his mouth." Isaiah 53:7, "He was like a lamb to the slaughter." John chapter 1:29 calls him the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. The slaughter was the picture and the imagery of the beating and the crucifixion that he took. Isaiah chapter 53:8, says he was taken from prison and judgment. Look, this is all in one chapter. He was taken from prison and judgment. And then in John chapter 18:33, when he entered Pilate's judgment hall, it was there that they accused him, but he opened not his mouth. Now, there's no doubt, if you read that entire chapter, you will see verse after verse and phrase after phrase that was fulfilled fulfilled in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But I want to give you four more verses, all in Isaiah 53. It says, he was wounded for the transgression of my people, was he smitten. Then it says this, he made his grave with the wicked, and you know what that is, his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death. He is crucified between wicked thieves, and he is buried in a rich man's grave called Joseph. I wish somebody would help me shout over the prophecies of the Messiah. He's buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. Then it says this, this is Isaiah, you have made his soul a sin offering. That's a big one. And my righteous servant shall justify many. Justification by faith, that's in the New Testament. Jesus Christ being made the sin offering, that's there. Then it said he was numbered with the transgressors and bore the sins of many. He carried our sins to the cross. Folks, this is not, as some suggest, Isaiah's suffering servant. This is a prophet named Isaiah that peered out into the future by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, that began to see the sufferings of the Messiah. And if you want to know if Jesus is the Messiah from the Old Testament, there is the greatest chapter in the Bible to prove he is and was the Messiah and Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Now, here's something real important that I want to give you. Now we're going to I want you to follow this flow. This is important for us to know. In verse 3, this is my key verse that we're going to start with. It says this, speaking of the Messiah, speaking of Jesus, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. As I was sitting at pastor's desk at Huntington, something leaped out at me because I want you to follow what I'm about to say. This being despised and being rejected and having grief and sorrow are all what we call human emotions. All of my life growing up in a full gospel church, I heard that Jesus Christ provided a double atonement. It was called a double cure for a double curse. First of all, he has made sin for us that we could be forgiven of sin through his death on the cross. But then he took a beating at the whipping post so that by his stripes we would be healed. So the atonement was basically this, the salvation of the human spirit and the healing of the physical body. But wait a minute, you are, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, a body and a soul and a spirit. You're a tripart being. So if I only cover your body or I only cover your spirit, what's the deal with the soul? Where's the atonement on the soul? Did he forget the soul? Did he leave the soul out? No, watch this. The soul is the will and the emotions and the desires. Will, emotion, and desires is connected to the soul. Or we would say, we would use this word, the emotions of a human being are connected to the soul. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is the feeling of rejection physical or is it mental? Well, yeah, it could be both, but think about this. When you're sitting around thinking about rejection, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? It's in your mind. What does it mean to be rejected? What does it mean to be despised of men? When you feel despised of men, who messes with your mind? What's messing with your mind? The idea that you're being despised and you're being rejected. Then sorrow. What is sorrow? Sorrow, you see it when people pass away. You see it when you get bad news. What is grief? Grief comes when someone you love dies. So my point is, the atonement not only covers the body, not only covers the spirit, it covers the soul. It covers the emotions. You ever thought of the word emotions? Now, this may not be the proper etymology or whatever you say it is of the word, breaking down of the word in the Latin from the original French, of the original Greek, of the, you know. But when I say the word emotions, first of all, one preacher said he put the word H in front of it and called it he-motions, and he put an S in front of it and called it she-motions, and he said marriages are splitting up because of he-motions and she-motions. And he was talking about the division between a man and a woman. But if you see the word emotions, what is the big word you hear in it? Say it, Brian. Motions. The bottom line is this. Rejection moves you a certain place. Now remember, emotion has motion, which is movement. Sorrow moves you to a certain place. Grief moves you to a certain place. So in other words, when we talk about emotions, can I tell you that most problems in a marriage are emotional problems? Over fighting over the money. How are we going to do it? Anger being stirred, words being said. Can I tell you that 90% of church problems are people's emotions? They get emotional, they go crazy, they scream, they overreact. It's all about emotion. Now, when they settle down and start thinking rational, you can talk to them. But I've dealt with people who are emotionally all messed up. You cannot negotiate with someone whose emotions are going crazy because their rational mind has been cut off. You have to wait till, come on. Funny story, I won't tell you who. Many years ago, though, I had a staff member, and it's a male staff member. We kind of had it out, and he's the kind of guy, he's such a good guy, that if you ever have a fuss, he's got to straighten it out that day or he can't sleep. And he kept texting me. I said, don't answer the text. And the next day, he kept texting me. I said, no, I'm not answering the text. And the third day, I said, no, I'm not answering the text. I'm in a meeting. I'm focusing. I don't want to discuss anything like that. I'll discuss it when I get back. And it like to drove him crazy. And I knew, though, that I had really done the wrong thing. I should have just answered the phone. I should just got, come on, y'all looking at me like, you ain't never done nothing like that. Don't answer the phone. Don't talk to her. I ain't going to talk to her. I ain't going to talk to him. So I found out this, and this is where we're about to go, that the human emotion maybe the most powerful thing that you deal with on the earth. And I'm going to give you the verse that God gave me that Satan is doing to people right now, including some of you. Give God a praise while I make it back to the pulpit. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Any of these four combinations, rejection, sorrow, grief, or being despised, will destroy one thing, one main thing. It's called peace. You will lose your peace. And this is a verse, and when you look, let me say this, when you lose peace, you'll live in disappointment, you'll live in frustration, you'll live in anxiety, very heavy, when your peace is gone. You can't sleep well at night. You'll find yourself getting up in the middle of the night, going to the computer, just hanging out. You can't sleep, you can't rest. You can't clear your mind when you lay down to go, because once your peace is gone, it disrupts the other emotions of the body. If you lose peace, you will lose joy. And if you lose joy, you lose the ability to rest. Now I'm getting where you're living, right? Come on now. So I'm sitting there. Now listen, and I'm reading this, and this verse comes to me. And when it came to me, the hair on my arm stood up like it is right now. And I jumped straight up. I said, oh my Lord, that's what the devil's doing to the church. Here's what it says. Verse 4, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. I had read it 1,000 times and I never knew what it really meant. The chastisement of our peace. So what I did is I looked up the word chastisement in the Hebrew, and it means this. In Hebrew, the word chastisement is to deal blows, hit and deal blows with words. Somebody using a word to rebuke you. Another, let me say it this way. Somebody using words to beat you down. Now you can get beat down by a human person looking at you in the face and telling you off, and you can get beat down in your mind with the devil bringing things in your head, telling you you ain't right, God doesn't love you, God has rejected you, you got a bondage, God is not going to deliver you. And I want to tell you that what the devil is a master of, the devil is a master of beating up with blows and with words your emotions, because that is called chastisement. In your peace. You're going to get something out of this, because I did when God showed me this. So the enemy chastises your peace. That means that what he does, if the kingdom of God in Romans chapter 14, 17 is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, then what does the enemy want to do? He wants to steal your joy. He wants to cause you to do something to bring condemnation against your righteousness, and he wants to do something with your peace. How does the enemy steal your peace? He steals your peace by you hearing the news, by you hearing negative information, by you hearing bad news about your family, and it's bombardment with negative words. And as he bombards, see, if I'm going, let me say it this way, because I'm going to break this down a little different. What does it mean to be chastised? In the New Testament Greek, as many as God loved, he chastens, or we would say he chastises. But in the Greek, that means to discipline a child firmly. Now, how do you discipline a child? Do you do this? Look at me. I said, look at me. You don't just say, look at me. You use your, now let me tell you something, child. You're not gonna act that way in my house. Now I'm taking the phone away from you for a day. They will have a heart attack at age 10 if you say that. Oh God, oh God, oh no, I can't live. I'm telling the truth. They're addicted to their phone like a person is drugs. But you have chastised your children, not with a belt. That's a whipping. That's a scourging in my day. You'll get that in a minute. They believed in the stars and stripes on your hind end, not the flag. That's how it was when I grew up. You know, we grew up around coal miners and coal miners' belt. I'm going to get that coal miner's belt out if you don't straighten up, child. But I lived, didn't I? We survived it. Now, let me go over this again. So when Satan chastises you, he's taking information, negative things, news reports, things you hear, and he's disturbing you with bombardment of stuff. And eventually, if you listen to it, you feel beat down. And you know that your peace has been chastised when you start feeling your spirit beat down. Now, the devil is a master of beating people up and beating people down. I have lost peace before, and I'm telling you, your body gets weak, you get tired, and you don't want to get out of bed. I hope I'm preaching to somebody that's been through something. I wish I could give me some help up in here that's been through something. You don't feel like eating, you lose your appetite, you don't feel like getting out of bed because you're worrying about what you keep hearing. So your peace is being beat up. Just like maybe a mean dad is whipping a child, and there's really not a reason for it. There's no purpose, but he's just taking it out on the kid. He's beating that kid. He's chastising that kid. And I want you to get the picture of Satan using information from other people or from sources or from words and him beating up on your peace. What he wants to do, he wants to chastise your peace. Now, let me say this. The word peace in Hebrew is the word shalom, and y'all have heard it, and everybody can say that word. It is not a hard Hebrew word to say. So look at your neighbor and say Shabbat shalom, because that's what we're in right now. We're Friday afternoon after sunset, Shabbat. Say it again, Shabbat shalom. Now, if Bill Cloud was here, he'd sing, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. No, I'm not going to sing it because my voice can't do it. That's what Bill would do. Now, Shabbat Shalom means happy Sabbath or blessed Sabbath. The word Shalom, I used to think it meant good morning. First time I went to Israel, I'm thinking, that means good morning. Shalom, Shalom. Oh, yeah, good morning. Okay, I'm speaking Hebrew. Shalom, 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 Shalom. But I noticed at lunchtime they'd say shalom, and then at dinner time they'd say shalom. And before you went to bed at night, good afternoon, shalom, shalom, Reverend, God bless you, shalom. I'm thinking, okay, this word means more than just hello. Then I found out in Hebrew, in the Bible, it means be well or well-being, be blessed, be prosperous, and be healthy. And to show you how important this is, the word peace, P-E-A-C-E, meaning emotional rest, emotional stability, just having the emotion of feeling it rest and at peace. The word peace is found 318 times in the Old Testament. And Jesus comes along, talks about, I am the Prince of Peace. My peace I give to you. Now, there's a verse that says this, great peace have those who, Oh, I love this verse. So thank you, Father. Here's what it says. Great peace have those who love your law. Now, if they put the period there, I'd say, that's cool. I love the word. God's guaranteeing me peace. I love the law of God. I want to do the right thing. God's going to give me peace. But let's read the whole verse. Ready? This is so cool. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will offend them. What could it be that everybody who's walking around in offense and everybody that's just all messed up because they're angry and they disagree and they're going to be belligerent about it, could it be that they are operating out of the rules of the New Testament of love one another? By their fruit you shall know them. You shall know them by their love. If you love me, keep my word. And I'm tired of Christians doing the Piccadilly cafeteria thing and picking and choosing what they want to believe. And then if it doesn't fit what they like, they'll reject it. But if they find something they do like, they'll accept it. And they're doing it all over the body of Christ throughout the world, especially in many of the churches in America. But watch this. If I love the law, great shalom have those. Great wellness have those. Great blessing have those. Great prosperity of those. Great health has those who love the law. And nothing is going to offend them. And I'd like to tell you that in the Hebrew, the word offense is not scandalon. And the word scandalon is the word offense in the New Testament, which is the bait on a trap set for an animal to make that trap go to the animal, go to the trap, take the bait, bam, and die as a result of it. It means in Hebrew, great peace of those who love your law, and they will have no stumbling blocks. So that adds a little bit of another dimension. A stumbling block is something they would put in the way to make you trip up. So God says this, if you love my law and you obey my law, I will see that every stumbling block the devil puts in you, I'll move it out of the way. Great peace you will have because I'll remove. You know, you missed a real good place to shout one time right there. I just felt like shouting myself. Woo! Glory to God.
I heard this many times on Saturday afternoon. I have never missed a main event in many years, and this week's services were the greatest revelation of God's Word yet. Personally, the morning service has released the most profound, right now, practical series of revelations that I've actually ever heard in my 46 years of ministry. The five messages that I preached were all new insights, some I had never seen until recently, that were birthed in the secret place of prayer. I felt impressed to emphasize lessons on defeating the strange attacks of the enemy, and I included a significant prophetic update, also teaching on the meaning of the year 5783 and teaching the authority of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Here's the title of my five messages: The Five Prophetic Omens Coming in 2023, The Prophetic Decree of the Watchers, The Satanic Ambush and the Spirit-Filled Edge, Recovering When Satan Chastises Your Peace, How to Issue a Restraining Order on the Enemy. Tony Scott taught a word that opened up a new spiritual level, and the title of the message was Living in the Highest Kingdom Life. Ron Carpenter brought the people to their feet with a powerful word, the legal side of prayer. Tommy Bates built our faith and just literally brought in the glory of the Lord with It's Time to Release the Supernatural. This main event series is a solid investment in your spiritual growth, explaining battle-proven tactics, and also increases your knowledge and provides faith-building truths that unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the time of the end. There are four ways in which to order. Call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD or call our Voice of Evangelism offices at 423-478-3456. Or you can order online at perrystone.org requesting the 2022 main event CDs or the DVDs. You can also mail in your order to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Now always remember to request either 22ME CD for the CDs or 22ME DVD for the 8 DVDs. Some DVD messages also have various pictures and scriptures to enhance the meaning of the message so that you can see and hear the word of the Lord. Now, the 8 CDs are $55. The 8 DVDs are $95, and we will pay the postage. If this year has been difficult and you've been hit from different directions, I can assure you these messages will give you weapons for warfare, tools for living, encouragement in your spirit, and help build your faith. And they will help you to break the strongholds and oppression of the adversary. The prophetic update is also very powerful. Please order yours today and help keep Manifest on the air. As I mentioned in the program, I was in Huntington, West Virginia this year when I saw a verse and the Lord spoke to me and gave me an instant supernatural download. Supernatural in the sense of I had never studied this. And I preached it and I felt led to preach it at the main event, because one of the things that I'm hearing a lot from people is the restlessness, the fear, the anxiety, and how the enemy is attacking their peace of mind. And I'm going to deal with that. We talk about recovering when the enemy chastises your peace. It was a great teaching. Some great Hebraic word studies are in this as well. And so please be sure and get that when you can. And it's on DVD, it's on CD. And this was the best word conference of just total word with the morning speakers, and I think the most timely messages. And we've been doing this conference for 35 years, so please get these while they're available and just feed your spirit. You know, it's winter time. You need your faith built. You need to hear a prophetic word. You need to hear a practical word on spiritual warfare to overcome the things you might be dealing with. And let me just also mention, I hope you like the shirt, but when I get to heaven, I want God to put me in the part of heaven that looks like this the whole year long. You know what I'm saying? In other words, fall only lasts for what, a month maybe? I want it to last all through eternity wherever I'm at. So if the Lord's listening, and I know He is, if He's listening, that's a real statement. But I want Him to put me in a part of heaven where it looks like the leaves change and it looks like fall, but the leaves never fall on the ground. I love the fall. I wish it would stay that way all year long, and I think most of you feel the same way. You are probably aware of something I've been talking about for 2 years, and it was delayed. It was supposed to be released in December, but it's going to be delayed to probably the end of January, 1st of February. And there's a reason for that that we won't go into detail. It's not a bad thing. It's just a circumstantial thing. But the secret project, and there's only a handful of people that even know what I'm talking about, but I want to say this to you. I will do a special program from outside. When you see me outside sitting at an iron table, then that is the releasing of the secret project, which will come probably the end of January, 1st of February, probably somewhere in that time on the Manifest Telecast. And then there'll be a big social media blitz on our YouTube channel, Facebook, and all of that. But it's very important that you respond as soon as you can. If you're interested in this secret project, respond as soon as you can, and you'll all understand why when you see what I'm going to release. And been working on this off and on, not all the time, off and on for 2.5 years. It was on my bucket list for many, many years. And I said, you know what? Let's do this. Because if I ever go to be with the Lord, I'm on my deathbed, I'll wonder if I... Anyway, I'm saying too much. I'm gonna shut up. Okay. So be sure and get the product. Go to perrystone.org for our itinerary. Follow us on Perrystone Ministries Facebook. You have to put the word ministries in there. And watch out for, be careful with people that are scamming you. There's only one Facebook page, and we do not ask for friends requests. And also watch out for these men that are trying to contact women on Facebook. Their logo, what do you call it? Cuckoo. All right. God bless you is my prayer.